want to show you a couple of scriptures where I can first tell you, I'm telling you guys, if this church would make a decision to be united, there's nothing that could stop us. The degree into which we would be affected would be to the 10th power. If you would make a decision to be united in your families, in your homes, what you could accomplish for the glory of God would be just supernatural. Even in your companies, even in your non-Christian companies, if you would make a decision that you are just going to do everything on your part to be in sync with the leadership of your company, you would be amazed at how much you could accomplish for the kingdom of God in your secular companies. And let me show you a couple of scriptures first, because I just real quick want to bait you, want to encourage you, want you to see what the prize is. Look at this scripture in Genesis. This is in Genesis chapter 11, and God says this, and the Lord said, Indeed, the people are one. Everybody say the people are one. And they have one language. And this is what they began to do. Watch this. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Why? Here's why. Because all these different people are deciding to be one. And God's recognizing there is this supernatural, spiritual reality that if you will decide, if we will decide we are going to be together, I'm telling you what, the sky's the limits. Now, this is a scripture in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible says. It doesn't say they were all together in one place. It doesn't say that. And here's why. Because although they were together in one place, the Holy Spirit, how many know the Holy Spirit? Every word is purposeful in the Bible. Every word is God-breathed. So what God is trying to get across to us wasn't, hey, man, and they were all together in one. They were all hanging out in the same place. They were hanging out in the same place. But that wasn't the main thing he wanted to communicate. He also wanted to communicate, watch this, they were all with one accord in one place. Do you see the difference? They weren't just hanging out in the same place, but they were together in a solidarity of deciding, here's what we're going to do. And we're not leaving until we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So they're not just, because here's the truth, we can be together and not be together. Amen. And we can, and listen, I could even tell you, here's what I want you to do. Next Sunday, we're going to come, and because I just want to do that, sometimes I just feel like wearing shorts, and it's playoff season, so you know what, everybody come next week in shorts, and you know what, and your Dodger gear, that's what we're going to come, okay? Yes, you're very welcome. Okay, just so you know, it's just an illustration, okay? And every single one of you could be, you know what, every single one of us could be together in the Dodger gear. Every single, nobody has any, just Dodgers. And yet the truth is, how many know, there's some of us who could still not be together. See, they weren't just together in one place, but they had made a preconceived decision that we're going to be obedient to do what God asked us to do. What's the significance of here? Well, why am I bringing this apart? Because here, you know what happens? Right after this, guess what? They're in one accord, in one place. The Holy Spirit just starts baptizing these people. They start speaking in a tongue. There's all these people come from all different places, all with different languages, and yet the 120 that get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they start praising God, but when you're hearing it, it's like, hey, they're speaking my language. And then somebody else over here was like, hey, they're speaking my language. Hey, they're speaking my language. And they started to recognize, oh, wait a minute. How is it that we're all hearing them? I mean, you know, like do-do-do-do-do-do, you know, what's going on here? Something is, would say, something is weird going on here. No, it's weird in that it wasn't natural. It was supernatural. They all heard these guys speaking, but they all heard it in their own language. Then Peter stands up because they're like, oh, you know, I mean, when you can't explain anything, just call them drunk, okay? We can't explain it. You're all drunk. You know what I mean? You're all. Okay. Peter stands up and says, no, let me tell you what. We're not drunk. And he starts preaching to them. In the middle of the, well, I don't know if the middle, but Peter gets interrupted before he's done with his sermon, and they say, they're so convicted by the Holy Spirit that they stop him. They say, enough. What do we need to do to get saved? Saved meaning understanding we're not whole. We know that God has done something to you. We want what you have. What do we have to do to get it? And that day, over 3,000 people came to know the Lord and came into the body of Christ. What I'm pointing out is, what I want you to understand is, if we would all be together, I could go through the book of Acts because we see it over and over and over again, this phrase, and they were in one accord. And what you'll see is when you see they're in one accord, many places in the book of Acts, guess what you're going to see next? You're going to see a supernatural something happening. What I'm saying to you is, I'm telling you guys, if you in your family will make a decision that you are not going to be in strife with your husband, you are not going to be in strife with your wife, you are not going to be in strife with your kids, you know, you're not going to be in strife with the mailman, amen? You're just not going to be in strife, amen? Have I told you about my mailman? Okay, well, maybe I'll tell you later on. But what I'm saying is, what I'm telling you is, you've got to make a preconceived notion that this is how I'm going to act. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to spend the remaining time of just going over very quickly four areas that cause us not to walk in unity. And the reason why I usually try to stay on the positive, but the reason why I'm going over this is because I believe that, led by the Holy Spirit, I need to confront these areas in your life. And I need to speak honest with you and tell you, let me tell you what, that's the problem. A lot of times we can't fix the problem till we identify what the problem is. You ever know somebody and they're like, no, I'm fine. You know what I mean? I don't need your correction. And how many know, sometimes they do need your correction. They just aren't mature enough to receive the correction. See, nothing changes until you recognize something needs to be changed. Is that not right? Is that not right? So I trust that you're going to be mature enough today to handle, you know what, some things that I'm going to, and I believe, to be honest with you, I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. Amen. Can you say amen? Okay. Number one, I want you to understand this. One of the reasons why people don't have unity as a core value is because people are not willing to work hard. I'm just telling you, if you're walking in unity, will be one of the hardest things that you ever do. And that's why most people don't do it, because they just, am I smiling? Because they just don't want to do it, because it's tough. It's hard. It is one of the hardest things you do. I asked the people in the first service, but let me ask you, because maybe it's different. But where's the most irritating people live? Can you tell me where the most irritating people Where do they live? That's what I thought. They live in your house. Amen? Is that, I mean, if we're real, is that not true? I mean, if you think about who, I mean, to be honest, the people that irritate me the most. Pastor, you sure you want to go there? Okay. I'm trying to be real. And I'm not saying that you don't have deep love for the people in your house, because I know you do. But I know, you know what, if you're anything like me, you know what, my family can be extremely irritating. Amen. You see, it takes toughness, it takes maturity to make a decision that, you know what, let me tell you what, I'm not going to be irritated with people who are irritating. Right? I'm not going to, you know what I mean? I'm not going to do it. I remember I heard Joyce Meyer say, really, really convicted me. Joyce Meyer said, you know what? There's how many know there's some people that are harder to get along with other people? And she said, just understand this. God hasn't just put people around you. You know what I mean? But that's what we want. Oh, you know what? I just want cool heads to be around me. I don't want anybody. No, that's not how it works, guys. Amen? People are going to irritate you. And you have to make a decision. Because many of those people are in your family. Many of those people, love you, I'm not smiling. Many of these people are in your church. You know what? They like the Angels. I like the Dodgers. You know what? No, and I'll tell you what. And if you like the Giants, come on. Well, can I be honest with you? Who cares? No, really, who cares? Who cares? What are we serving today? Nachos. I don't like nachos. Why don't they have hot dogs there? Who cares? Amen. See, but let me tell you what, it takes some toughness. It takes some toughness to say, well, you know what? Maybe I want hot dogs, but whatever. You know what I mean? But I'm going to enjoy these nachos. Hey. I hope you like the nachos. You know what? But it's really not about the food. You know what it's about? It's about, instead of going to Taco Bell, you know what, and sitting there and eating junk food anyway, why don't you come over here, eat some good food, and sit and hang out with Mickey for a little bit. You know what? Hang out with Fred. Amen? Does that make sense? It's not about the food. It's about giving you a good excuse to sit down and fellowship a little bit. Amen? And praise God, if we can raise some money to the youth rec center, why not? Amen? I mean, we're more deserving than Taco Bell. Somebody say amen to this. I don't have any, there's nothing wrong with corporate profits. They pay people's tuitions and house payments and rent and car. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's nothing wrong with staying here and eating some nachos and hanging out and that money being able to go into the youth rec center. Amen? But we make it all about, you know, I don't want... I don't want nachos today. I'm smiling, right? We'll eat nachos anyway. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. Next verse, with all lowliness. Look at these words. With all lowliness. Everybody say lowliness. We don't listen. English, some of you English teachers, help me out. That's not a word that's used very often. With all lowliness. Or like it's almost like, what does that mean? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing. There it is, bearing with one another. See, it's tough. Because people, the Bible's true. People, you have to bear with them. You ever know somebody and they're like, they're a bear, you know what I mean? Number one, the reason why we don't walk in the unity to the degree that we need to is because it's hard. But can I teach you something about being hard? It's all relative. How many know everything's relative? So, and I'm not saying there's not concrete things, but I'm saying things are relative. Here, let me give you an example. If I said to you, and I believe that unity isn't a shared value like it should be. Individualism is a shared value, a strong shared value in America. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I think it's wonderful. Listen, here's the truth. There's no one like you on purpose. I remember growing up, my dad and my mom used to say, Drew, you're so special. You know what I mean? And they were like sincere. And I would love to be like, yeah, right, mom. What are you going to say? You know what I mean? I used to think that. I used to think my mom and dad are just saying that because I'm there. They're just like, oh, you know, I got to say this. You know what I mean? But I didn't think I was special. Now, I have a hard time saying this because I don't want to be misunderstood. But the truth is, I am very, very special. The truth is, there is, and you might not see it as good, but I see it as good. There is no one like me. But here's the thing, there's no one like you either. And that's a wonderful value. But I believe that we valued that so much that we have taken away and we don't have that shared value of unity, of coming together and making a decision that we are going to be in one accord. Let me talk to you about shared value for a minute, the importance of unity. you have things that are really important to you. One of the things that really are important to you are people's perception of you. And so you have this perception, if you're married, you're like, I don't want anybody to know that, you know, like I get in like crazy fights with my wife. I don't want anybody to know that. You know what I mean? That's, you know, not cool. So you're in a crazy fight with your wife. I mean, just crazy. You know what I mean? I know none of you know what I'm talking about, but whatever. You know, here. This is just for the cable network people, okay? Doesn't apply to any of these people here, okay? But you're in a crazy fight with your wife. I mean, crazy. And the phone rings, okay? And what do? Watch how in control you are. You're like, it rings. You're like, hello? What's up with that? Let me tell you what's up with that. What's up with that is you value that. That's really important. What I'm saying, what I'm pointing out, is that unity is not a high enough shared value that we need to put higher on our list. Let me give you another example. I mean, no, I encourage everybody to come Sunday and Wednesday. Everybody say Sunday and Wednesday. So let me just say, so for the next four Sundays, anyone who comes, I mean, for the next four Wednesdays, anybody who comes on Wednesday, if they're on time, just four. For every person who does that, I will give them $1,000. Okay, I'm just asking, how many of you, your schedule just got cleared up? Now, here's where it gets a little brutal, and I'm not trying to be in your face, but can I tell you why you're here? Can I tell you why it cleared up? Here's why. Because you have a shared value. You know what that shared value is? Money. It's a shared value. Here, let me prove it, point to you even more direct. I'm asking you to come for the next 20 Wednesdays, and you have to be on time. But anyone who'll come for the next 20 Wednesdays on time, I won't give them $1,000. I'll give them $10,000. How many of you are signing up for this game? 10,000? My schedule just got free. I don't know how it happened. Okay. So all I'm saying, all I'm trying to, and again, guys, don't. I'm not here to be confrontational to you, but I want to, as gently as I can, point out that unity isn't the shared value that it needs to be. And it will be tough. But here's what I want to say. It's worth it. It's completely worth it. Number one, we don't have that shared value for it because it's tough. Number two, we don't have that shared value. Unity isn't a shared value because people are not willing to put others in front of yourself. Remember I said it was tough? To do this, you've got to put others in front of you. Everybody say others in front of me. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at this. Or go to verse 1. Yeah, like you did. Catch the wording. Catch the cadence. Everybody say cadence. Catch the poetry. Catch the desire in the Apostle Paul's heart. Look what he says. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, do you hear his heart? Can you sense the cadence? He's saying, guys, I'm telling you what, this is so important to me. Now, what is important to him? Well, we're going to look at the next verse. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. How do you do that? You make a preconceived decision, you make a decision now before it happens. I'm going to be in agreement with those people. And let me make it clear, because the enemy wants to throw us a bunch of smoke screen. I'm not going to ask anybody to go over to Rite Aid and steal a candy bar. I'm not talking about that. We're not talking about doing anything immoral. We're not talking about anything like that. We're just talking about you putting somebody else's interest higher than your interest. Seeing somebody else as more valuable than yourself. You know, it's so interesting because how many of the Bible knows who we are? So the Bible says this. It says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Then another place it says that we are to love others, watch this, as we love, you know what it says? Ourselves. How many know you love yourself? Come on, somebody. How many of you were paid attention to what you wore today? You're like, man, I'm going to wear that. I'm going to wear with that. You know, I want to wear those shoes. And I'm going to, you know what I mean? How many ironed your clothes today before you came? Okay. Why? Because you love yourself. Amen. And that's not a bad thing. But the Bible says that we're to put others more important than ourselves. Amen. And watch this. And that's what hurts us. Because what we want and what Satan wants to do is he wants to divide us. For us to say, no, you're more important than me. Man, that. If we would start saying that, then we're going to start walking in the unity that God has for us. Amen. Number three. We're not willing to walk in humility. We're not willing to be humble. You know, the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. He gives more grace to the humble. See, you know what we think? You know, I'll just tell you what we think. We think, how many know that we could go over to Tommy's and I could tell you the best way to get a Tommy's burger? And can I tell you why? Can I tell you how come I know the best way to get a Tommy's burger? Because, watch this, because that is the best way to get a Tommy's burger. Are you kidding me? Like you don't get it that way? But see, that's how we think. I could tell you the best way to comb your hair. I could tell you the best car to drive. I could tell you, I'm totally opinionated about everything. And because of that, see, we think this is most important to me. But I love what Tamara said in the first service. But the kingdom of God is completely different. God is asking you to say, no, that's just because that's your opinion doesn't mean it's the best way. You know what that takes? Humility. You know what? It takes a big person to be able to do little things. I said this in men's class, and it just struck me. So Josh, last week or the week before, he's out there, and he's, don't tell the kids this, but he is dressed up like the pirate. What's the pirate? Barnacle Bob. I see an eight-year-old. This eight-year-old is just kind of walking. So this is Barnacle Bob. He's just kind of walking near him. And I used to be with children's. Tamara and I used to be children's pastor. I knew exactly what that eight-year-old wanted. That your eight-year-old wanted Barnacle Bob to say, give me a hug, buddy, you know what I mean? That's what he wanted. And I was sitting there just kind of observing this. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Joshua, and I was so impressed because Joshua stopped, gave this boy a hug, and we're going to have a good, you know what I mean? Did his Barnacle Bob thing. And I thought, wow, that's cool. Well, you know, Pastor, I got a lot of things going on. I'm busy, blah, 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 blah. Hey, listen, Joshua's busy. You know, can I be honest with you? The people who make this church happen, they're not people who don't have a lot of things going on. Barnacle Bob has a lot of things going on. Amen. And yet, with everything that Joshua has going on, Joshua says, let me tell you what's important. What's important is that I put other people in front of myself. Amen. If you went to Lakewood Church, you might be ushered to a seat by a gentleman, and you might see him, you know what, week after week. On Saturday nights, that's when he serves. And he points new people, shows them where the restrooms are. He passes out the offering plates. He helps seat people. He's one of the ushers there. Here's an interesting thing. If you went to a Texas Texans pro football game, you'd see this guy, and he'd catch the ball, and he's the punt returner and the kickoff returner. And he's fast and sharp and played in the NFL for 5 seasons. And if you went to that football game, you might see him. Here's the interesting thing. If you looked really closely, if you had really good binoculars, you could look and go, oh my goodness. You know who that guy is? That guy is the usher that ushered me to the seat last month. His name is J.J. Moses. And he was the NFL for 5 years. You know what? Drafted at the highest level of football that you could get. And yet, J.J. Moses said to Pastor Joel Osteen, he said this: the most exciting thing I do is not play in the NFL. It's serve on Saturday nights. Amen. See, what is that? It's humility. Let me tell you what, proudful people, they don't walk in humility. They don't walk in humility, and they don't walk in unity. And let me tell you why. Because you can't walk in unity and walk in pride. It just ain't going to happen. You know why? Because you're too special. Because everything's about you. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Gentlemen, worth $6 billion. Everybody say billion dollars. $6 billion. He's passed away and been is with the Lord now. But he owned all kinds of things. One of the things that he owned, it was a retreat center. He was at the retreat center one weekend, and the person that runs the front desk was gone for some reason. He saw his guests, some guests come in, and he just stepped up in there and said, "May I help you?" They said, "Sure." He checked them in. He gave them their keys. He walked around the desk. He took their bags, took them up to their room, put their bags away, even got them ice. When he was done with getting them the ice, the lady reached into her purse and took out a $5 bill to give this billionaire $5. How many know it takes a big person to do something small? He didn't need her $5. There was a show that we used to watch, and it took the CEO, and the CEO would disguise himself and get into and go out and empty trash or cook brownies or whatever his company was for. And it was amazing how much these people learned. Can I just tell you what? We live in a world and we think everything's revolved around us. But the kingdom of God says, no. That's not, I love you. I died for you. But get on the page. The Bible says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." Who, you know what? Who took the form of man. Who made himself, everybody say made himself, of no reputation. See, when you make yourself no reputation, you know what? And somebody says, "Hey, let's do it this way." You know what? You go, "Okay." No, let's do it that way. "All right, let's do it that way." "Well, let's do it this way." "Okay, let's do it that way." Why? Because you make yourself of no reputation. That is the mind of Christ. That's what God tells you to take on, for you to act like that. But what we've learned to do in our society is we've learned to stick up for ourselves and fight for ourselves. "If nobody's going to treat me like that, I don't have to take that anymore. You know, that's all right." Blah, 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 blah. Hey, just make yourself have no reputation. Can I tell you the last thing? This is probably the hardest thing. But number four, here's what we do. Here's why we don't walk in the unity like we could, like we should, like God wants us to. It's because this. People are not willing to take direction. People are not willing to take direction. How many know it's you know what? How many know if you I remember one time we were going to Willie George. We had just been appointed as children's pastors, and we were going to a Willie George conference, and Willie George. Just is great ministry with kids. He's a senior pastor now, but we're going to this, and it was so good. I get in this van, and we're going to this place, and we had probably 8 or 9, 10 people in the van, and as I start going this way, I hear like 8 different voices. We're like, we're going to the Faith Dome. That's where it was. We're going to the Faith Dome. And then all of a sudden, everybody was like, "Oh, you know what? You turn left, turn right, turn all this stuff." You know what? And then, remember this, Tamara? And then my friend, what was his name? David. Then David says this, "Hey, there's one driver and he knows how to get there." I thought, yeah, that's right. But how many know there's probably 8 different ways? How many know there's 20 different ways to get to the Faith Dome? And everybody was going to tell me the best way. And David said, "Drew's driving. He's going to take us there." Now, I'm gonna show you something in the scripture, and you just have to resist your mind to resist this. How many know if you come in here and you already know everything, then what you doing here? I'm not trying to be confrontational. I'm trying to be sensical. What is the point? This is a learning center. This is a training center. We've got to come in with the spirit of humility that says, I don't know everything. What can I learn today? Amen. Can I teach you something today? Ephesians, or Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I love this scripture. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat. Get in the boat. Immediately. Come on, let's go. Jesus didn't talk like that. Yeah, he did. Well, according to Matthew, he did. I believe that. See, can I tell you what? When you became a Christian, I'm pretending I'm doing this. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to make Jesus your Lord, if you want to accept him in your life, if you want his redeeming blood, if you want his life, if you want to give your life to him, just raise up your hands. And all kinds of people raise up their hands, not understanding what the pastor just said. If you want to make him your Lord, you know what Lord means? He gets to tell you what to do. No. That's not how I want it. I want the place in the Bible where it says, I get everything God has for me, and I don't have to do anything for him. Oh, wait, let me find it. It's right here. Wait, maybe this page. No, not that page. How many know I'm not finding it? Because you know why I'm not finding it? Because it's not there. It's a perversion of Christianity that we came up. You know what? We're making God how we want him. And that's not how God is. God says, listen, I'm going to give you my son, and I will give you everything. His righteousness you can have. You can have it for free. But let me tell you what. You need to make him your Lord. And Lord means the director of your life. Amen. The disciples understood this. And he says, get in the boat. And they don't cop an attitude. You know what? Get in the boat. You know what? Tell your mama to get in the boat. I ain't getting in the boat. I ain't doing that. Amen. I ain't doing that. It's not right. You know, you don't tell somebody else, man. Tell him. Tell Thomas. You know, I'm gonna get in the boat when I feel like getting in the boat. God's like, get in the boat. He made him. Which I'm not trying to make something that's not, but it would seem to me like there's some resistance there. Come on, Buckies, let's go. Amen. What did Sergeant Carter used to say? Move it, move it, move it. Somebody like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Just look it up on the internet. It's totally crack up, okay? He made him get in the boat. We don't see God in that way. We're like, I tell you what, I'll do what God said when I feel it, when I just get around to it, when everything, then, listen, I don't know what that is, but I'll tell you what that's not. That is not Christianity. I'm just saying it's not. See, you know why and watch this. Are you ready for this? Hebrews, look at this. And this is, you know what? Fine, you know what? I'll do what God says, but just God. Just God. Well, let me show you this scripture. Remember those who, you say it with me. You're like the Fonzie. What couldn't he say? Sorry, wrong. Wrong. You couldn't say wrong. You're like, you can't. No. Nobody rules over me. Well, I mean, nobody rules over you, but it doesn't mean that you haven't helped, that people haven't been given to you, that people haven't been put to rule over you. It just means you're not submitted to those people. Just so we're on the same page, just so you understand, I'm not taking a scripture out of context. Read the whole thing, but I'll give you two more just so you catch it. remember those who rule over you. Oh, interesting. Who have spoken the word of God to you, indication to, that's probably talking about your pastor. I'm just saying, amen. Read it. Put it in context. Amen? Right, Pastor George? Yes, thank you. Look at verse, 17? 14? Look at 17. Obey those, say it with me. Ooh, you couldn't even get past the obey. What are you talking about? First you're talking about rule over me. Now you're talking about obey them. Are you crazy? No, I'm just, listen, I'm not crazy. I'm just thinking that you came to learn something. That's all I'm thinking. Do you remember my first point? Who can raise their hand and tell me my first point? What? I'm telling you, this is not a piece of cake. You know, one of the reasons why I say, you know what, that I point out my imperfections to you in real time? Because I know the smoke screen. Because the next thing comes, I'll tell you what, I'll rule over somebody as long as they know more than me. Listen, I don't profess to know more than you. I don't profess to be smarter than you. I don't profess to be wiser than you. I don't profess to be more creative than you. All I profess is, according to Ephesians, you know what, that Jesus himself calls some, and for whatever reason in God's universe, God called me to be pastor here. I mean, shoot, I could trip out with you. No, really, we could spend a long time tripping out why God called me. A long time, amen? And I'd be right there with you. But here's what I know for a fact. God's called me here. Paul says this, and I love what he says. He says, he talks about his calling. You can have 58 reasons, 158 reasons why you think God hasn't called me here. Listen. Or all the reasons why God could have picked somebody better. And I won't waste my time arguing with you. Matter of fact, I'll agree with you on probably all 158 reasons. I'm just pointing out that, you know what? Not only does God put people over you, then God says you need to obey them. Okay, just so you have it clear, look at this next verse. Look at this. It's in the same chapter, 24. Greet all those who what? Who rule over you. Thank you for the greeting. No, really. Again, so what am I saying? I'm just saying, guys, and think about it. How does, when Paul says this, remember when Paul says, he said, let everything be done in decency and order. How do we get things done in decency and order if we don't preconceive and go, he's in charge, I'm going to listen to him? But what we have in an organization is like, man, I think we should do it like this. I think we should do it like this. I think we. How does worship happen? How does worship happen? Here's what I'm looking for worship. I'm looking for Connie to stand up here and do what I've asked her to do. And she does. What I am not looking for Connie to do is to cop an attitude and go, I don't know. I don't know why Tyler was going so fast today. That song's way too fast. You know what I mean? And then Ernie says, oh, I don't know why, you know, it's too fast. What are you talking about, Connie? It was too slow. You know what I mean? And then Brian says, too slow. You know what I mean? It wasn't loud enough. And then Randy says, not loud enough, it's too soft. And every, you know what I mean? And you got all this, and everybody's got opinion. And Connie thinks she's right, and Ernie thinks he's right, and Brian thinks he's right, and Randy thinks he's right. You know what? And I don't care. And you guys know. You know I love Connie. You know I love Ernie. You know I love Brian. You know what? You know I love Randy. I said that because I'm going to say something a little tough. But you know the truth is, I don't care what any of them think. Thank you. And Brian's saying amen. You know who I care what somebody thinks? Take a wild God. Yeah, that's a good answer. Jesus? Yeah, that's a good answer. And that is the answer, but that's not the answer I'm looking for. Who do I care who what thinks? I care what Isaac thinks. Because I've delegated Isaac to lead the worship team. Amen? And that takes humility. That takes humility. But when the Bible says, let everything be done in decency and order, then we have order. And let me tell you why Isaac is one of the ones that I have delegated to lead the worship team. Because if I come up here and I tell Isaac this, you know what Isaac is going to do? He's going to stop. And if I tell Isaac this, you know what he's going to do? He's going to slow down. If I tell Isaac this, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do it again. We're going to do it again. If I tell Isaac this, you know what he's going to do? He's going to change the songs. We're going to go into another song. And out of all the people on the worship team, you know what? The reason why we have good worship is because of people who understand, let everything be done in decency and order. And it's not that I don't think Ernie doesn't have good input, because he does have good input. It doesn't because I think Connie doesn't have good input. You know what? Or Richard. You know what? Or Brian. Or Randy. Or anybody. And you ask any of them. There'll be a time on Friday that they all can give input. Because everybody's important. They all have good input. But they have to have a high enough EQ that when I decide this is how we're going to do it, then this is how we're going to do it. And one of the reasons why Isaac has been put in charge is because I've seen out of his character, he is the quickest. I tell the worship team this. Nobody looks at me as good as Isaac looks at me. Nobody's as sensitive to what is. There's be sometimes I'll be sitting there and I'll even just start to think something and I catch his eye and I think, oh, he was looking. He knew that I didn't like that. And that's impressive. And Isaac can tell me whatever he wants. Any of them can. But see, how in the world do things get done decency and order if everybody's like, well, I think we should do it this way. I think we should do it this way. Have you ever led anything? How well can you lead when everybody, and I'm not talking about you can't have opinions, I'm talking about after we're done discussing it, you ever had somebody and they're like, yeah, but, and they're always trying, you're trying to explain it, and they're always, yeah, but, and the bottom line is, their way is the only way to do it. How good of a team member is that? You know, remember when the Lakers, they had all these great players. They had the best players in the world. And they go to the playoffs and they lose in the first round. Why? Because they didn't have all the talent? It's not about talent. You know what it's about? It's about a willingness to humble yourself and understanding that God has put people. Did we see this more than once? This is throughout the Bible. But we're like, and you know what? And we take that attitude into work, and we take that attitude into our home, and we take that attitude into our church. And I'm just saying, I'm telling you what could we accomplish if we would understand the power of unity and just make a decision. And you know what you'd find? You'd find, hey, actually, this was a good way to do it. This happened just Friday. Friday, we're doing praise and worship, and somebody had an idea. Let's do it that way. And I thought that ain't a good way to close. I don't want to do it that way. Okay, but then I also thought, well, let's work it out three or four times, and after we work it out three or four times, maybe I'll think different. And it took us three or four times to work it out. And by the time we worked it out the third or the fourth time, I was like, hey, that is good. And the Holy Spirit was like, hey. But you know what that takes? You know, the other day on Vegas and Joel and so many of the leaders here are so gracious to me. And they'll ask me all the time, Pastor, do you need anything? It's one of the phrases. Can I tell you who led in that phrase? Joel led in that phrase. I never once said, hey, make sure before you leave, you ask me, do you need anything? Because that would bring me honor. I didn't tell him that. He just did that. And the other day, you know what Vegas said? Hey, pastor, do you need anything? And I thought, you know what? I said, no, I'm fine. Then I said this, hey, Vegas, do you need anything? Oh, that's a good thing to say. Can we just come in agreement that maybe unity hasn't been to the value that the Bible puts it? And maybe we've suffered and not really flowed like God wants us to? Not walked in what the Bible says in the 133rd Psalm, that as we walk and as we give honor and we work together in unity, that this anointing will go from the head to the beard to every part, and this commanded blessing will come upon us from God. And maybe I'm just asking. Maybe the problem isn't your spouse. I'm looking for a chair to sit down because I want to be a little theatrical right now, but I don't have one, so I'll just leave. Maybe the problem isn't your spouse. Maybe the problem is you. And maybe there just needs to be a shared value of maybe, yeah, but he doesn't have that shared value. Well, okay, but you do. Somebody learning something today. Yeah, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to just raise up your hand and say, Pastor, I've heard the Holy Spirit speak some things about unity specifically to me, and I wanna raise my hand. I want you to pray with me. I don't want to leave this place without at least saying, man, I need some help in this. All over. Thank you. All over. Father, you see our hands up, and we're not trying to embarrass anybody. But Father, we are confessing before you that we need help. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that you'll forgive us for that resisting that we've done. And we're just going to walk in your, that today is the first day of the rest of our lives. And we'll walk in a new understanding and a new dimension and a new freedom to not think that it all has to be about ourselves. And I thank you that we will be the benefactor of this, along with other people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Knock it off. It's interesting because I think we could pretty much say that if we don't have, if there isn't unity somewhere, we're probably automatically violating the second commandment. Because I don't know how, if we're always thinking of others as more important than ourselves, I don't know how we get out of unity. Think about it. If we'll just think of others more highly than ourselves, we really can't get into any trouble, can we? And that's real important because unity, it benefits us as a church, as a body. It benefits us individually. There's a lot, let me give you some scripture. Unity will benefit us individually. Listen to Psalms 34. It says, whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, seek peace and pursue it. That's personal to you. When a man's ways please the Lord, he, meaning God, makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16. Unity benefits God's people. Listen to this one. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing forever. That's Psalms 133. Romans 14, let us pursue the things which make for peace and building up one another. Unity makes us more effective. I'm not going to read all of this, but this is in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. But it's in two. Also in Matthew 18, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they may ask, it'll be done by the Father. And then in James 5, and we're familiar with this one, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We need each other. God puts a power there when we'll work that way. That's his way, to exalt that other one more than yourself. Christ, unity shows Christ's love to others and in this world. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Matthew 5. It benefits all around. It benefits Christ. I love that. Whatever that said about giving my fulness of joy or fulfill my joy as you're in unity with one another. It's because, can you imagine, God calls us an army. You guys know this, right? There's a lot of military terms concerning the body of Christ. Pretend that we were at war. Are we at war? Yeah. So pretend we're at war, and this army up in here, you know what? We're all going to be handed some muskets, all right? But nobody's in charge. Everyone just go do whatever you think is good. But that's, do we kind of function like that as a church body? I mean, are we not in a war? Yes, we are. And are we not in an army? Yes, we are. But don't you think there's more? I mean, aren't we all kind of got our muskets and just run around doing whatever we think is good? That's a silly looking army. Would you not agree? It's crazy. But if we will lowliness, humility, if we will humble ourselves and just do it God's way, you'll personally benefit, the body will benefit, the kingdom will benefit. But we've got to file in, you know what I mean? Okay, what is the Lord saying? What does he want us to do? You know what? How can I help? How can I serve? Jesus said that the greatest amongst us will be found in the servant. Amen. And that the one that tries to exalt himself, that one's going to be put down. And the one that's humble and down, that one's going to be lifted up. We are not of this world. And we need to stop thinking like the world, amen? And as we stop thinking like the world and just come together, you know what, in his word, letting him direct and lead, and just file in the way we're supposed to file in and get our orders, you know what, and not just everyone go buckshot renegade with your musket doing whatever you think you should do for the kingdom. It's kind of silly, but it paints a picture. Amen.